Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It is the midweek, Dom. It's a Wednesday. How we doing?
Crudy, I am awesome. I am excited today. You got Evan on the boards, our fair audience. A pleasure to be with you on this hump day. Of course, it is the J6 committee hearing eve, and I cannot wait till tomorrow to see the J6 just rake the former insurrectionist bastard over the coals. It's going to be glorious.
In prime time, baby. Prime time. Now, do you think Fox News will cover it in real time? You know,
it'd be BS if they didn't, Crudy.
It would be. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be BS? Now, if you'll recall, the very first hearing of the January 6th hearings, or at least the very first of this latest round, well, it happened in prime time. More than 20 million people watched. And about as many listen to it on the Devil radio app, right?
Oh, of course.
Or one of the fine stations. And Dom, let me just make point. You know, I got up early today. I did some work and got out of town, got on the road, drove to outstate Wisconsin, northeastern Wisconsin. I've already been on the road, been to Green Bay and back today. And I can tell you, 5:40 a.m., it is the beast of the east, baby.
Nice.
That thing was loud and clear north of Green Bay. Tell somebody.
Wow, dude.
You can hear the shiny, new and improved 5:40 a.m. signal. I was south of Milwaukee the other day, Racine, sounding loud and clear down there. I was up in Green Bay, sounded loud and clear in Suamico, baby. You've heard of that.
Damn.
It calls from up there sometimes. So anyways, tell some people. The beast of the east. WAUK, 5:40 a.m. But we will play the entirety of the J6 hearing. We're playing it live. We're going to play it live right here on this radio network. And Dom, you would think maybe we'd start there. But the former's still breaking laws and trying to overturn the last election to this very freaking day. Which brings us to perhaps the sub-lead. Wisconsin Assembly Speaker says Trump called him this month to decertify the 2020 election. Now, we saw some trash talking on the Truth Social, but we didn't know there had already been a preceding phone call from the former president to Robin Voss. Robin Voss, he's been on the show a couple times. Donald Trump, you shook his hand. Paul LeBlanc at CNN reporting. Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said former President Donald Trump called him last week as part of a fresh effort to decertify the state's 2020 presidential election results. To what end, sir? You know what I mean? To what end? So Joe Biden's only
going to... If you ask him three times, he'll do it? Is that the point? Go ahead, Kurt. I got the Washington Post, but go ahead. Let's hear what Voss has
to say. I've got CNN's version. You were just a little too loud in my ear. I had to turn you down. He would like us to do something different in Wisconsin. Something different. Voss, a Republican, explained to CNN affiliate WISN in relaying his phone conversation with Trump. You think we're getting the unvarnished truth from Voss? You know, he'd never try to obscure, hide, or delete the records, would he, Don?
He's already been admonished for doing exactly that. The entirety of the Voss quote, I think it's important. Here it is. The Assembly Speaker, the Republican Assembly Speaker here in the state of Wisconsin, quote, "It's very consistent. He makes his case, which I respect. He would like us to do something different in Wisconsin. I explain that it's not allowed under the Constitution. He has a different opinion."
So therefore, Trump has an unconstitutional opinion.
opinion. Yes.
When you go in direct contrast to the Constitution, that's not just that's not just language. That's not splitting the infinitive. That's breaking the law, is it not?
It certainly seems to be the case. And, Voss just can't help kind of kissing his ass while also trying to shut down the conversation. He's consistent. He makes his case, which I respect. You respect that the former insurrectionist coup-plotting bastard's opinion, which you just defined as unconstitutional, you respect that. You consider that a different opinion?
Well, Trump did also threaten him, and they call it, what, thinly veiled? There was no veil. There's no veil. Trump just threatened the Assembly Speaker of the state of Wisconsin and effectively said, decertify the 2020 election, or I'm going to get your primary opponent elected. I'm going to get you beat. I can't make you win, but I can make you lose. I've heard someone say that before, Dom. So do you think Voss is being reactive once again to threats from the former president? And let's not forget the Voss, the Assembly Speaker, who knows better. He knows the math. He knows Joe Biden won. But he's so afraid of the base. He's so afraid to pull the ripcord on the big lie that he has put a $1 million and counting investigation in place with a corrupted
investigation.
Partisan witch hunt of the worst sort. Headed up by a corrupted former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice and Michael Gableman. I mean, both he and Gableman have been contemptuous of public open records requests during the course of this investigation to the point where multiple judges have cited them. And, I disagree with him, and he apparently disagrees with the Constitution, and life goes on. Obladi, oblada.
No big deal. Hey, I want to murder America. Well, I'm sorry, sir. I respect your opinion, but that's unconstitutional. But you have a different opinion, which I respect.
I think we all know Donald Trump is Donald Trump. Oh, you're so strong with the language, Voss. There's very little we can do to control or predict what he will do.
What?
That's the direct quote.
I know. I mean, really, there's very little we can do. The man orchestrated a coup upon this country, Robin Voss. There are things we could do, prosecute him like every other scumbag that took a dump on the Capitol.
You know, the fact that the Wisconsin Supreme Court, at least three of them, the very conservative ones, I mean, they kind of threw it out there. They baited the hook for Trump. And, Hagedorn concurred. Hagedorn is the often swingy, former conservative, but he's probably still conservative, but at least he shows some judicial independence. But the other ones were all down for what? Overturning the election, maybe throwing it to Donald Trump if that's what's necessary, because they did rule that absentee drop boxes were illegal. And Trump is using their verbiage as justification for the fact that and if it happened in the last election, then you got to throw out the last election. So if people voted by a quote-unquote illegal means, now, of course, you can't retroactively rule that the last election's invalid.
Right.
But anyways, that is Trump's takeaway. He heard what he wanted to hear. But Voss has been running scared of this man since the get-go, since the drop. And ultimately, doesn't matter how much loyalty. Get on a private jet with Trump to Alabama. Won't matter, Robin Voss. Here's what's going to happen. In the next month, Donald Trump's going to endorse Robin Voss's primary opponent. Despite the fact that Voss is trying to have it both ways, trying to appease the base, appease Trump, and not come off as completely crazy and living in a fantasy world. Because that, of course, is what is engaging his base, this fantasy that it was rigged and stolen from Trump.
Voss did say, quote, "The court case, as you read it, does not go back and say what happened in 2020 was illegal. It just says going forward, it cannot happen," as the roster reports. Then Trump went off him after Voss on the truthiness. So what's Speaker Robin Voss going to do, doing on the great Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling declaring hundreds of thousands of Dropbox votes to be illegal? This is not a time for him to hide. It's a time to act. He then threatened to intervene in the August 9th GOP primaries. Kurti mentioned Again, a quote from the former coup insurrectionist. I don't know his opponent in the upcoming primary, but feel certain he will do well if Speaker Voss doesn't move with gusto. Robin, don't let the voters of Wisconsin down, Trump warned.
Well, his primary opponent, I believe his name, Adam Steen.
Yes.
And Steen has shown a willingness to decertify if, you know, if only he had the power and wasn't in direct conflict with what's that Constitution thing.
He
would be all down, though. He's giving Trump what he wants, which means that Trump will endorse him because Robin Voss is not giving Trump what he wants, which is freaking Backwano crazy, right?
Right, decertifying the election. Crime, man, I love it.
You know,
and you can't. Here's the deal: you can't make a deal with the devil. You can't thread the needle with a guy like Donald Trump. It does not work that way. You are either all in or you're not all in. And even if you're all in, he still may throw you to the wolves. But that's not how Trump works. And I cannot believe that these Republicans still try to toe that line. Especially Robin Voss wants it both ways. He wants the support of the MAGAs because he knows he can't win without them. But he also knows that it's unconstitutional. It is impossible to go back and undo, quote unquote, the last election. And this is not the first time these things have happened, when there have been other things in the past where, you know, election commissions in different states have ruled certain ways. Well, if you're listening to them as a citizen of that state, well, you follow the directions that ends up later to be not accurate or not correct, they can't go back and pull your vote. They're not going to redo it. It doesn't work that way.
Well, I'm not clear. John Eastman, you remember Eastman, has become at least a bit player in the whole January 6th and perhaps DOJ investigations as well. They searched him, right?
Yes.
Well, he was in Madison back in April seeking the ear of Robin Voss, very same assembly speaker. And John Eastman had the very same ask. When are you going to decertify the 2020 election? And the point I tried to make before, you know, poor Tim Rantham. State rep from Wisconsin. The right kind of crazy. He's all down for decertifying elections all the way back to Bob Dole in the 90s, man. And yet somehow he didn't win the Trump endorsement. Tim Michaels did. I mean, that's got a sting, Ram Jam, right? It's got a sting. No Christmas caroling for you. Come back, more Devils. A whopper of a Wednesday show when you participate. 844-96-PARTY.
The data you have is wrong.
Who cares?
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us on the phones at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, the pundits out talking about the phone call from Donald Trump to Wisconsin Assembly Speaker, Republican Robin Voss. Tinfoil hat crazy is the headline. I find CNN's Jeffrey Toobin astonished by Trump's latest phone call to Wisconsin GOP leader. The interview written up at the Raw story, we just told you the story. What, Donald Trump's calling and threatening Robin Voss with a primary opponent? He'll endorse his primary opponent unless, of course, Voss does the right thing and decertifies the 2020 election just two short years later. So that's where we picked this narrative up. Reacting to this news, the news of the phone call, CNN legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin expressed astonishment that the twice impeached former president is still trying to get reinstated to the White House, despite definitively losing to President Joe Biden in November of 2020. It's a couple years ago. Here's the quote from Toobin. If someone had come up to you on the street and someone said in July of 2022 that they were trying to overturn the election held almost 2 years ago, you would say this is like a tinfoil hat crazy person. Now, you and Ron Johnson, once upon a time, noted the fact your tinfoil hats were nearly the same size. That's been some years, but, you know, I got you both saying it. The idea, according to Toobin, back to the reporting here, the idea that the former president thinks this could be overturned is so bizarre. It is a little bizarre, right, Dom? Tubin went on to speculate about how this revelation could impact some of the criminal probes into Trump's efforts to illegally stay in power. Again, a quote from Tubin. I don't know if it counts for criminal intent. It's almost hard to wrap your mind around, but it shows that the former president is obsessed with this issue and he's not letting it go. And if they are still looking for criminal intent, that is potentially more evidence. Yes, it could be more evidence. He's still calling, trying to overturn the outcome in 2022.
No, see, you got it all wrong, Tubin and Crudy. It's not intent or criminal intent. It's not unconstitutional. It's just a different opinion. And we all know how Trump is, and there's really not much we can do about it.
You know, I've seen some sore losers down at the Little League Diamond Dom. You know, some right. Parents. It's usually the parents that hold the grudges. But I've never heard a single one of them still talking trash 2 years later. You know, if that umpire had only, my son would have been the champion. I mean, at some point, we all move on, don't we?
You know, maybe, but you know, how desperate, regardless of the criminal intent or the, you know, how much of a lackey Voss comes off as, how desperate is Donald Trump right now? Right? I mean, think about this. I mean, for real, all the information that we know that has already come out, the information that will most certainly come out. Desperate. He knows that if he doesn't somehow get back into that White House, and I don't think he's got 2 years to 2024 to get there, in order to get the protections from the Office of Legal Counsel that you can't criminally prosecute a sitting president. Like this is his grab at the ring, man. He is desperate.
Now, didn't the Department of Justice specifically come out in the last 24 hours and say that there's no prohibition against prosecuting a presidential candidate?
They said Merrick Garland on C-SPAN. This was up on some of the Twitter feeds. We did pull the sound from the 7. We got a little bit of this we can play right now.
Evan, paging Evan.
maybe we'll just wait till the next segment. We have a few cuts from Merrick Garland that I think are that you're going to want to hear. Right? I mean, we've all been.
Is it Merrick Garland Day?
It's not Merrick Garland Day yet, but we're getting there. Evan, can we play some of these, please? All right, let's do cut number one.
Recently, people have posited alternative ways of going about this. One of them is called the hub and spoke notion.
So this is the question from the journalist.
Trump, and then considering the rioters as one spoke, and also looking at the electors' scheme as another spoke. Can you just explain to us if there was a decision point early on in which you decided to go the way that you did, why you rejected these other potential paths? And as a follow-up, have you seen anything either coming out of Fulton County in Georgia or anything out of the January 6th committee that has moved the investigation?
Great questions.
So there are a number of assumptions based into this leading question.
Leading question.
I'm familiar with as a former trial lawyer, but there is a lot of speculation about what the Justice Department is doing, what it's not doing, what our theories are, what our theories aren't, and there will continue to be that speculation. That's because a central tenet of the way in which the Justice Department investigates, a central tenet of the rule of law, is that we do not do our investigations in public. This is the most wide-ranging investigation and the most important investigation that the Justice Department has ever entered into. And we have done so because this effort to upend a legitimate election, transferring power from one administration to another, cuts at the fundamental of American democracy. We have to get this right. And for people who are concerned, as I think every American should be, about protecting democracy, we have to do two things. We have to hold accountable every person who is criminally responsible for trying to overturn a legitimate election. And we must do it in a way filled with integrity and professionalism, the way the Justice Department conducts investigations. Both of these are necessary in order to achieve justice and to protect our democracy.
What about swift justice? like swifter justice. I mean, I'm quite encouraged. That is encouraging.
The most wide-ranging and important investigation the Department of Justice has ever undertaken.
Well, and he didn't use the word coup, but he described what the underlying crime was. It was a coup against the peaceful transfer of power. So I got to take some encouragement. Now, you know, I'm not ready to declare it Merrick Garland Day. That will require indictments. At least one Trump must be named on the indictment.
More indictments, preferably of the Trump and his family.
And more of your phone calls. You're listening to the Devil's Advocates. Join us, 844-967-2789.
If you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a whopper of a Wednesday. Dom, tomorrow, January 6th hearings in prime time. We got a Bannon trial going on in real time. We'll give you an update a little bit later in this big show. And Dom, we're going on the road tomorrow. We're going to be at the oldest county fair in Wisconsin, the Waukesha County Fair. That's at the Expo Center, and I'm going to bring a radio or two to give away. So if you come see us, we're going to be at the Democratic Party of Waukesha County booth, and we're going to broadcast live from the fair, man.
Oh, nice.
Corn dogs for everybody, all my friends.
I heard the Ted Nugent's the headliner tomorrow. Is that true?
Wow, that's important to know. I'm going to have to look that up, the daily schedule. Let me see. That would be Thursday, July 21st. And tomorrow, there's a throw-and-go mobile axe throwing. So
what could possibly go wrong?
Randy Houser. Looks like a country guy. He's got a cowboy hat.
All right.
Randy Houser.
No Motor City Madman tomorrow. All right.
Not apparently tomorrow. Maybe he's playing today. I don't know. Now you stump me, man. I don't know who's playing.
It doesn't matter. Baby. We're going to be there, man. It's going to be a party when we roll in. So we'll be hanging out at the Waukesha County Democratic Party of Waukesha County's booth/tent. And we'll be rocking and rolling, doing the whole show live there tomorrow, 4 to 6. Come by. And check it out. And Curtis is giving away a radio, apparently.
Well, multiple radios, perhaps.
Multiple radios.
But only if you come down and see us. Well, we're on the radio, man.
Come on.
We got this Beast of the East 540 AM signal. You can hear damn near anywhere.
So is it like a boombox or like a little portable radio? What are we talking about?
Super cool, man. You haven't been down to the Friday Night Lights in the Shaw, but they shut down the downtown. And then we also do the Farmers Market broadcast. And I launched it, man. I was down there for the first one this year. And we've been giving away these cute little retro style. They're nostalgic looking radios. And they're fully functional. AM and FM, you know, just lock her in on 540 AM. You got us wherever you go. But it also accepts like Bluetooth. And it's a cool thing. It's a modern, retro, super cool. And we even throw like a Shaw sticker on there for you. So we brand it. But yeah, I'm giving away some radios at the Waukesha County Fair as we're doing the greatest broadcast ever, and then up to the January 6th testimony. And, I wonder if anyone warned Joel Clayfish. He may not be raised in the Shaw tomorrow. We'll have to verify what time the
All right, so for those people starts. Who care, the Nudes, you know, the right-winger, formerly awesome guitar player, now don't like him much. He plays on Friday. But good news is, awesome band Seether, they're playing on Saturday, the Waukesha County Fair. We do have a couple more cuts from Merrick Garland. I want to get that out there as well today. You got any more updates,
Curtis? If you go down there on Thursday, you can just see the Devil's Advocates. We'll sing a little for you. A little harmonizing Simon and Garfunkel style.
Yeah, no, probably not.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Come to talk to you again. 844-967-2789. We'll get to the phones in just a moment. But Evan did the hard work. I found the cuts. He cut them up.
Somebody had to do it.
Let's hear a little more from AG Merrick Garland on this, most wide-ranging and important investigation that the Department of Justice has ever undertaken. Let's hear cut number two, please, Evan.
just one follow-up. Do you think you have enough resources to do that?
You have enough resources?
The budget request made earlier this year was not complied with. Do you feel that you need additional resources?
The Justice Department would always like additional resources and would be happy to take them. But we are going to accomplish our mission here. The people in the Justice Department are committed to this. They are working 24/7 on this.
Now, Merrick Garland was the prosecutor on the Oklahoma City bombing. And no leaks, my understanding. There were no leaks that came out of that prosecution, just indictments.
Continue. I do recall that the Justice Department is hiring. I've seen reporting that they are hiring some prosecutors. So presumably that will, you know, gives the indication that this is going from the investigative portion to a prosecutorial portion.
Now, you took the LSATs. Does that qualify you to work at DOJ? We'll have to ask our good friend James Santel.
Hey, if Bill Barr can work at the DOJ, I am eminently qualified to work there as well. One more cut from Merrick Garland. The question, of course, you know, does the DOJ, are they down for, you know, prosecuting a former president? Apparently, he has the strange belief, and not an opinion, that no person is above the law. Let's hear cut number three, please, Evan.
We are entering a zone here where if there are charges brought against a former president related to January 6th, DOJ could be accused of playing politics. How is the department, how are you weighing that? Also, do you think that there is a constitutional question involved here about whether you charge a former president for actions allegedly taken during his term? Separately,
a lot of multi-part questions.
Galen Walker.
I'll answer that.
Okay.
Let me answer the first one.
Okay.
Look, no person is above the law in this country. Nothing stops us.
Even a former president.
Maybe I'll say that again. No person is above the law in this country. I can't say it any more clearly than that. There is nothing in the principles of prosecution, in any other factors, which prevent us from investigating anyone who's criminally responsible for an attempt to undo a Democratic election.
Let me repeat it in case I stuttered the first time. No person is above the law. You got that? No person is above the law. So, I mean, without, you know, giving us the deets on what's going on, given his response to some very specific questions today, I got to tell you, man, it's confirmed what I have thought. I obviously, we all want to know more. We all want to see this move faster than it is. But given the importance of this, that this has never been done before, this wide-ranging and most important investigation DOJ has ever done, and it has to be done without politics, and it has to be done professionally. And as you mentioned, Curdy, this guy runs a tight ship. So I'm encouraged, man. How about you?
Yes. It's good to hear him verbalize it, because effectively he said, you know, we've got this massive investigation going on. And I mean, numerically, I'm sure it's the largest investigation to date. Most perpetrators. But that was the mob. That wasn't the coup. You know, they were the pawns. The real coup, the hub, and that's where I want to see Merrick Garland get to. I want some explaining done, sir. Perhaps to a grand jury and then to the American people. Know what I mean? Let's get to the hub.
Well, and they're working their way up there. And just real quick, when he talked about when the question was asked, you know, and he says no person is above the law. And while the audio is certainly striking, the video of it is even more, because Garland puts his hand to his chest like he's almost exasperated. Like, dude, I don't know how else I can tell you this. No person is above the law, over and over. I mean, he's just so the nature, the body language to me was even more telling.
Now, if you believe that, I mean, certainly the Attorney General of the United States is cognizant of the fact that midterm elections are coming down the pike. And I would say there's probably some window of time during which you wouldn't want to influence the outcome of the elections, whether it's merited or not, whether or not they should be dropping charges, you know, a month, a week before the elections. I would wonder if Merrick Garland feels any undue pressure to kind of either charge before, clearly before the midterms are in full swing, or does he feel like he's got to defer until after the midterms?
You know, I think you charge
kind of like Trump and when the evidence
and the suit is ready to charge. And I think the only exception that could be made in that is if the person you're charging is actually up for re-election. Jim Jordan, for example, Marjorie Taylor Greene, they're going to be up for election again. So perhaps there's a small window there where you don't charge. But, you know, Trump's not on the ticket. The Trump kids aren't on the ticket. Giuliani, Eastman, right? They're not running for anything. They're not on any ticket. So if he's ready and their team is ready to go and they have indictments ready to drop, I think they do it when they're ready to do it.
When the soup's cooked, you serve it down?
Absolutely, baby.
844-967-2789. Our pal Dick from Madison. Welcome back, Dick. What do you got today?
Hey, Dick.
Well, a couple of things. The Voss thing. When Trump called Voss, to me, that's that equals more money for Gableman. Voss didn't say anything at all to he said something to the effect, well, you know, he's got his issues with this or something along those lines. Like, you know as well as I do, this is going to be more cash going, taxpayer money going to Gableman's.
So you think that's the only logical response for Robin Voss? The only cover fire he can give is to extend the corrupted former Supreme Court Justice Gableman's contract? That's the best answer, Robin?
Every time. He knuckles under every time to Trump, and that's all I'm saying. But to this thing with the DOJ, I'll believe it when I see it, and here's why I say that. What if we should lose the midterms? They'll cut off all the funding for all of this, and it'll all go away.
I know they'd sure like to, wouldn't they? I mean, the Republicans are plotting the investigation of the January 6th committee. If they win back the House, they're starting the hearings.
They'll reopen Benghazi for crying out loud.
That's all fine and dandy, but, you know, the Department of Justice is not under the whims of the Republicans if they win back the House, right? I mean, anything they're going to slam through is going to be signed by President Biden. So if they're going to try to cut funding here or there, yeah. I mean, you know, there's all. I mean, I don't see Garland is being influenced by that whatsoever, Dick.
Here's the thing: up till now, though, you have to admit, you have to have time lapse photography to see any movement. This is just moving way too slow.
No, certainly
way too much stuff out.
Well, here's the good news, Dick. Steve Bannon is at trial right now, and that is a Department of Justice trial. That is Merrick Garland's DOJ doing its job. Peter Navarro, he's the guy that, authored the book and confessed to Ari Melber on MSNBC. You know, we're going to put forth a coup. Well, anyways, Navarro had a big book deal. And wanted to get his book out there and wanted to go on a book tour and has been trying to delay his trial. And the judge today said, no, you're going to trial in November. He had hoped to delay the trial until after the first of the year. Now, that trial will not commence. The Navarro trial will not commence until after the midterm elections. November 16th, the date of that trial. And I find it quite interesting. The most interesting news, perhaps, out of the Bannon trial today is the fact that the prosecutor is in a book club with the key witness from the January 6th committee. They're in a book club, Dom.
The testimony was that they had the witness had not been to book club in a year.
Are you sure they just don't talk about book club? It's the first rule of book club. You don't talk about book club.
I mean, I'm not in a book club, but hell, even in a pool league, a softball league, you know what I'm saying? If you don't show up for a year, you're kind of out of the club, I would just say. But certainly, they did apparently have a relationship through this book club.
Well, and they had worked together prior. Now, Amberling is an attorney that represents the January 6th committee. And she's been laying out the case for why it is that the January 6th committee needs this testimony from Steve Bannon. And he, of course, has refused to give the testimony and hence the trial. And he's tried a few Hail Marys, tried to, you know, throw anything he could at the wall to see if any of it would stick.
None of it stuck.
Well, not so far, but the trial goes on, and his attorney, you know, I mean, this might be his only key victory, Dom, is flushing out the fact that the prosecutor and the, what, key witness for the prosecution, why, they're in a book club. And I would only wonder aloud, are they choosing to read Peter Navarro's book next? Is that the book they choose? Or is it more like Oprah? Do you take your cues from Oprah? Come back. More Devils. Got a favorite book? Tell us about it. 844-967-2789.
When people try to sell books, they do all sorts of interesting, exotic things. Yeah.
Percent of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Please join us on the phone at 844-967-2789. Crudy, raw story, talking about Steve Bannon here. Just a couple of paragraphs.
Steve Bannon.
District Judge Carl Nichols told a jury at Bannon's contempt trial that claims of executive privilege by the former President Trump are irrelevant. With his Wednesday afternoon ruling, Nichols said that Bannon's attorney could introduce recent correspondence with the J6 committee. Bannon said that he refused the committee's subpoena because Trump claimed to have executive privilege. The former Trump advisor changed course in recent weeks and said he would be willing to testify. Nichols, the judge, instructed the jury that executive privilege and an offer to later cooperate were not legitimate defenses for contempt of Congress. A quote, Mr. Bannon's belief that questions around executive privilege excused him from complying with the subpoena are irrelevant in this case. In addition, whether or not in the future Mr. Bannon complies with the subpoena is irrelevant. So, good luck. Hey, you can introduce it, but the judge just told the jury what you're going to introduce, whether or not he believed he had executive privilege, whether or not he testifies in the future, all of that. Irrelevant to this contempt of Congress case.
Now, Peter Navarro prior was going to represent himself at trial, right? He's got a trial, apparently.
He's threatened to.
November 16th. Is he going to use the Bannon defense? Because it seems to be crumbling. You know what I'm saying?
No, you better hire some pretty good effing lawyers. You know what I mean?
Dom, you know, before we wrap up this big hour, and you've still got time for a phone call here at 844-967-2789, I want to tell you about a guy who had another guy arrested so he could continue having an affair with that guy's wife.
Come on.
And he's a Republican. Go figure. South Carolina real estate developer accused a Republican congressman of abusing his power to continue an affair with his estranged wife. Rep. William Timmons. This is a congressman, one of the 435, you know, like a Louis Gohmert sort. William Timmons, Republican from South Carolina, recently went on a conservative talk radio show to address claims by developer Ron Rallis, who said the lawmaker influenced police and judges to have him arrested and jailed on a kidnapping charge to further an affair with his estranged wife, socialite Paula Dyer. That's a mouthful, Dom. Here's a comment. My wife and I do not comment on our personal lives because they're private, and they should remain that way. Now, he was on 106.3, The Words, The Tara Show. Words, W-O-R-D. That said, we are experiencing challenges. We're going through a difficult time. I regret anything I've ever done to let her down. I've let my wife down, but, you know, I didn't cheat on her or try to have another guy arrested so I can continue cheating on her with the other guy's wife. Now, Rallis posted on Instagram. Rallis is the accuser, the real estate developer, accusing the congressman of, you know, stumping his wife. Rallis posted on Instagram that he spent months wearing an ankle monitor. It was separated from his young daughter before the charge was expunged, but Timmons denied the developer's claims and rejected allegations about sex parties. Was Madison Cawthorn invited? Are these the cocaine-fueled sex parties Woo-hoo! We've been hearing about? Timmons tells, is this a different radio show? 94.5's Morning Answer show. This has been a distraction. I apologize. My personal life is being made into a distraction, but we're focused. We're going to stay focused, and we're going to keep America first, and we're going to do everything we can to get this country back on track. Setting aside the whole, you know, America first and, you know, probably wants to overturn the last election, but I read on. Timmons, who drew Donald Trump's endorsement in his June 14th GOP primary, of course Trump endorsed him, you know, is an attorney and the owner of the Swamp Rabbit CrossFit Gym at Unity Park, and he would continue his campaign for a third term after avoiding a runoff against three Republican opponents. So what, he won the primary? Rallis has offered to pay anyone who can provide compromising photos of Timmons, who said he would not sue a gossip blog in Columbia that first publicized the allegations against the GOP candidate who campaigns on conservative family values. Yes, conservative family values.
What, hypocrisy within the ranks of the MAGA? Shocking, I tell you. Shocking.
Remember, who's the guy that worked for Trump? Jason Miller, right? Had the ginormous round head. I mean, the guy grew a Fu Man, and I know I have a Fu Man. You know,
and you got kind of a ginormous round head as well.
Well, come on, man. I got jawline. That guy was all like head. And Jason Miller, if I recall, as the story was told, Jason Miller snuck a abortion pill into his mistress's drink outside of her knowledge or consent, trying to abort the pregnancy of the mistress. You know, the family values party, Tom.
Now, given the, you know, recent positions of many of the MAGAs and conservatives, wouldn't some people call that murder?
Oh, I would. At least in this context, you know, trying to use their vocabulary back against them. So anyways, what do you think about trying to get another guy arrested?
Stuff his wife. Sex parties and affairs and all that. So what? Who cares? But if you are an elected sitting congressperson and you are using that position to encourage and cajole police and prosecutors to go after, you know, anybody, regardless of the motivation, without cause, That is deeply disturbing. So, you know, the salacious part, you know me, man, I don't give a damn about that. You know, whatever gets you through the night, baby. But when you're using that, when you're calling the cops on someone and trumping up charges against them so you can, you know, get your way with their spouse, doesn't matter what your end result is. If you are using the law in that fashion, you are not fit to sit in Congress.
What's your wife doing later, Dom?
She's on her way to Mexico City right now, man. Her and her brother and Dalen are going to have a long weekend down there partying.
You sure it's her brother she went with?
I'm pretty sure.
Not some Republican congressman. You know, from South Carolina?
If that's her jam, dude, knock yourself out. But I highly doubt it.
Well, I would hope she'd have better taste than that, but. You know, then
she got great taste. I mean, look at who she married.
Oh, come on. You beat me to the punch.
I shouldn't have been so
beaten around the bush. I hope she enjoys her time in Mexico, the lovely and talented Mrs. Salvia. Dom, does that mean you're free to party on Hawk's Deck on what? Coming up August 2nd, 2 weeks from yesterday. Another party.
What?
Partying at the county fair in Waukesha. That's tomorrow. You can join us there, giving away radios. And then giving away probably beers at the party. Beers on Dom. Everybody show up.
I got to win another court case, man.
We'll see. We'll see. We've got another one on the docket. Come back with us. Hour two, the happier happy hour. More of the Devil's Advocates. Always a political party. I feel like I already started.
Dave Bannon.
Get a great effing criminal defense lawyer. You're going to need it.
Yeah.